All right, so picking up, you have just moved. You and your wife are going through this miscarriage and kind of a new place, a loss of life, all of this. How, at this point, are you seeing more of, because you've put part of yourself in a box, is this a time where that's kind of coming knocking at your heart more and more, or
In a way, yes, and in a way, no.
in a way?
After the miscarriage, we kind of went through a process, especially Leanne, of redefining her purpose, because she was looking forward to being a mom. So she shifted toward finding work in another town where she could be at least a part-time minister of music. So she was not the traditional pastor's wife. And when she got a job in another community, I remember announcing to the congregation that she would not be with us on Sundays. And so that was a bit of strangeness for the congregation that was used to having a minister's spouse there. But we worked through that, and the two congregations that we served had we all had kind of a mutual love for each other, so we managed that beautifully. Probably halfway through my 4 years there, there was a tornado that went through Wichita, Kansas, and it wiped out a section of on the east side where we grew up. We went to church in Andover, Kansas, which is on the east side, and it killed a number of people that were very special to us. And during that time, I got this just out of the blue phone call left as a voice message. In those days, we had answering machines, the old clunkers that you could press and record your message. And the voice on the other end said, "Well, I thought you'd be interested to know that I'm still alive." Well, I recognized the voice. Now, let me back up a bit because that reminds me of something that happened while we were in seminary. So, when I was in high school, I, through a series of connections, met a man who was 12 years older than me, and we began to have a sexual relationship. So I'm in high school, probably 16. He's 12 years older. For me, as a adolescent, it was the sexual experience was pretty extraordinary, and I didn't know how to navigate the complexities of that. When I went to college, I shut that off, and I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't tell Leanne about it. I didn't tell anybody. That was part of what I kept compartmentalized. So when in my second year of seminary, after Leanne and I were married, I got a letter from this person, basically saying, "How dare you get married? I loved you." And it was a threatening letter. So it had a tone of blackmail in it. If you don't do this and this and this, then I will do this and this and this. Well, that tormented me. Leanne could tell there was something distinctively different about how I was going through my days. It led me to feel very disoriented and disconnected and no one to talk to. Who do I talk to? How do I, what would I risk in doing so? And over the course of probably the next year, there were a number of letters. And I decided to write back, I think, after the third one. And I just, I apologized, I asked forgiveness. And I got back this strange letter that said, "Oh, everything's forgiven. I understand. I look forward to meeting your wife." Well, that was the last thing I wanted to have happen. In the course of receiving those three letters, we were at home one evening, and my brother called And he said, "Joe, are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, why? What's going on?" And he said, "Someone just called the house and said Joe is dead." And I knew immediately who it was. It was the same person.
Yeah.
So for about a year, year and a half, I lived with that tension. It was like this thing that I had put over here was coming back and tormenting me. And I told Leanne about my high school relationship with this guy. I didn't give a lot of details.
How did she take that?
It was hard. It was hard. I mean, she was so grateful that I had shared it, but she, not knowing the complexity of the sexual nature of it, she thought it was more of like an experiment, just testing it out. And so we didn't really talk in depth about what that might mean for our relationship. So moving ahead to the phone call that we got, that happened. And then we, after 4 years at this particular church, at the end of that, probably in the fourth year, we learned that she was pregnant. And so we had our first child, Emma. And then we moved to another community where I became pastor. It was a larger church.
What year are we looking at?
That would have been 1993.
Okay.
And during that time, our second child, Taylor, was born. And we were only there 2 years. And were invited to join, I was invited to join the staff of a downtown church in Wichita, Kansas, to be an associate pastor of a large urban church. And for us, that was kind of thrilling. Wichita's where I grew up, so I had lots of connections there, my parents, some of my siblings. We could be in a corral that we really loved together, and it was like a fresh start. And that, so we moved in 95 to Wichita to start that work, and I forget, it was shortly after we moved to our new house, I was at home with Taylor, and Leanne was away with Emma, and the phone rang, and it was this guy. So from my high school years, which would have been 78 to 80 or so.
Yeah.
Then the letters that came in 85, 86, the phone call that came in 90 something. Then moving to Wichita and 1995.
It's really like two decades.
Two decades of this.
Of this following kind of, you almost stalker.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
He called and I said, I was just stunned. And I said, "Hello?" And he said, "Well," I said, "how did you reach me?" And he had called my brother about something. And I said, what are you calling for? And he said, "Well, I just wanted to call and apologize for all of the harm I've caused you over these last decades." And I wanted to apologize and ask your forgiveness. And proceeded to say that he had met somebody, that they had gotten married out in the Continental Divide, and wondered if I would come and do a blessing of their marriage, because marriage wasn't legal then.
Yes.
And I remember writing down his number, and when I was done, I threw the number away. I said, "I can't do this." And that was the last time that I've heard anything.